we're all about sports and the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida, online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. It is Sheeman and Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. ESPN Southwest Florida. Glad you could be with us on a very busy hump day Wednesday. Obviously, John Gruden, the NFL, emails, Adam Schefter grabbing up all the headlines. We'll have some more headlines. Chris will run things down. Still plenty more sound to get to. Aaron Rodgers checking in on John Gruden. Got a little thing going between Iowa and Penn State, and they played on Saturday. They're still arguing with each other. I'll tell you what that's all about. Yeah. And Wendy with an interesting comment or two about Kyrie, KD, and the Nets. We'll get to all of that. Also, this hour, John Meter Perel will join us. Talk some ACC football. That's at the bottom of the hour. So a lot going on here on Sheeman and Shepherd. Without any further delay, it's time now for a Sports Center rundown at 8 minutes past the hour. Here's Chris.
Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa returned to practice today. Head coach Brian Flores told reporters he is hopeful Tua will be able to play Sunday morning against the Jags in London. Tomorrow night, the Buccaneers take on the Eagles. They will be without Rob Gronkowski, Lavonte David, and Antoine Winfield for the game. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson will miss the game due to personal reasons, his third straight game. And Texans left tackle Laremy Tunsil will undergo surgery on his thumb. He could miss up to 4 weeks.
Okay.
Interesting text from Kathleen, our friend. I agree there's so much more. We'll find out about these emails in the NFL. We'll have a lot to answer. But what is scary, I don't think there's anyone over the age of 18 who hasn't said or put anything in some writing it shouldn't. We would all be canceled if somebody wanted to. The NFL must want Gruden. Kathleen, I get what you're saying. We're not talking about, you know, there is nothing like there's. You know, you got to be really careful with any email you sent out. But it's very different when it's a company email and a company headline, particularly in the NFL. You have, you know, this team, that team, whatever team, and it's the team's headline on a company email. It's very different. I don't. For instance, this our emails. What I don't send out emails from anything here except to respond to this. Hey, you have an appearance here. We're doing that, or here's a schedule. It's all, you know, fluffy stuff.
Yeah,
you know, stuff that we get from corporate. I don't send out anything personal, ever.
Maybe this will get us starting to turn the corner from everything's an email or a text or some sort of electronic message. Maybe we'll get back to talking to each other again. Maybe.
What's that? Why would you want to do that?
But I made the comment to Craig during the break. Do we want to find out, you know, how deep the tentacles are in this story? Do we want that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The NFL is going to have to be really careful here, because if this type of story keeps resurfacing over the next several weeks or months, once they think it's gone away and then it comes back again, and there's no doubt in my mind that it will with 650,000 emails, that's why I'm worried about whoever this person or persons are close to the NFL or in the NFL office that are leaking this stuff. They better put the kibosh on it right away.
They're trying
to. If they're not, or they're going to selectively leak when they want to, that's a major issue.
Well, remember, the NFL said yesterday they weren't going to release anymore. And then the NFL Players Association said, wait a minute. We want to see what's in there.
The NFL is made up of really powerful dudes. Like, not sports powerful, like...
No, money powerful.
World
yeah.
powerful.
Yeah.
If they want to keep something hidden...
They've done a pretty good job.
Is it right? Probably not, yeah. But they'll keep it hidden.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Pittsburgh Brian wants to talk about John Gruden. Pittsburgh Brian, how are you,
what's
sir?
What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Long time no here.
Yeah, man. It's been a while. How you been?
Good. Real well. Well, I had the opportunity to play for Coach Gruden at Pitt in 1990. Paul Hackett was our head coach, and he had some West Coast pull, and they liked what Gruden did. I think he was out Pacific before he came to us, and that's where Hackett was from.
Yeah.
And he was a good coach. I mean, I feel bad for him. He doesn't need my sympathy. I know we all make mistakes, and we're professionals, but I think they had a target on him. I think he upset the wrong people, and they're taking him out.
They're taking him out, and then how many more are going to be taken out, like I said, by this person who is absolutely a person's in the NFL office or somebody close to the NFL? I think this is the first of many.
I think we all have put stuff maybe in writing that we shouldn't have. Hopefully, you know, that doesn't come to light. But maybe not to the extent that he went, but I think if everyone dug up in your past like they are doing now over the last 20, I mean, not that it was 20 years, but still, yeah, they can make it look bad. And it doesn't help that he had poor choice. That was poor choice, but as a player, you know, a lot of African Americans on the team, and he never said anything in practice. Now, yeah, he dropped the F-bombs like everyone else, but that's just the way coaching was back then, and maybe still is today, at least in college. And just a good guy, and very motivating, and he was good on the staff. I just couldn't say enough nice things about him. But I just feel, you don't feel bad for a guy who's probably going to walk away with $50 million there, but still. He ruined his career.
Yeah, he sure did.
He did.
I think made sure it was ruined.
And by the way, defensive lineman Carl Nassib, the Raiders, the only openly gay player in the NFL, took a personal day today to process everything. It wouldn't shock me if he has to be traded.
Brian, thank you. I appreciate your painting the picture there. Appreciate that very much.
The thing was, all these emails that are out there, and we're talking about the homophobic stuff and the misogynistic stuff, and I understand that. And I want to know all of it. I also want to know who the CTE stuff to me is still out there, and that's very, very important as well. And Gruden was one of those guys that said, we need to stop, sweep this under the rug, blah, blah, blah. I want to know the responses from some of these owners and GMs.
There could be Colin Kaepernick collusion.
Colin Kaepernick collusion, another part of this. And we're just scratching the surface here. Like I said, I'm very concerned about this whole situation.
All right, let's resume our sound. Here is Aaron Rodgers. He's on the Pat McAfee Show for his weekly appearance yesterday. He said there's no place in the game for a guy like John Gruden anymore.
We need to allow people to grow and change, you know. But those opinions, don't have a place in the game. And, you know, it was surprising to see that thing went so quickly.
Yes.
But I think that was probably the best decision for all parties involved. And hopefully we can all as a league learn and grow from this. And hopefully it puts people on notice who have some of those same opinions. Like, hey, man, it's time to grow and evolve and change and connect. And that doesn't fly.
All right. You know, he started off the statement by saying, well, you know, people grow. But then he doesn't belong in the game anymore. I mean, I don't know if he's talking out of both sides there or not, but just an interesting observation. Regarding the game, Aaron Rodgers told Joe Burrow, remember they played the Bengals into overtime, and Joe got knocked around quite a bit. He says, like, he told Joe Burrow after the game, he needs to start sliding, dude.
I'm a Joe Burrow fan. I enjoy the way he goes about his business. I enjoy the way he plays with confidence. I will tell you the thing that I told him, which I've told other quarterbacks, from time to time, slide. Slide. I said, you're too damn talented. You got so much in front of you to accomplish in this league. Just sometimes you got to slide. You know, I would have said the same thing to Andrew. You know, Andrew initially got hurt in Indy, you know, being Superman and running guys over and stuff. Like, the only guy who I've told to slide who really didn't need to hear it and still doesn't is the guy that was playing last night, because he's so damn fast and talented and strong around the ball, man. You could keep running like that for a lot of years, Lamar. You don't need to slide. But everybody else, like, you know, just slide every now and then.
Well, the Joey Burrow play, in case you don't realize, and he made an unbelievable play. I give him credit for all the guts. He still came up about 5 yards short of the first down when he was running for this thing, and he was he could have got seriously, seriously hurt.
Yeah.
I think that'll come in time.
Well, he's already had one massive injury.
Major injury
had
already.
Nothing to do with him and his inability to slide.
No, but you don't want to be out for two seasons now.
Did you see that play that they were talking about? That was nasty.
Yes.
Nasty.
It was in the first half, making it, I think, worse. You don't need to do that in the first half. Maybe if the game is on the line and you have to get the first, or
he was 5 yards short, though. He was way short of
the
first
even
down.
If it's late in the game and it, you make it fourth and five instead
of
fourth and
eight. I get that.
No,
get
I'm saying the first half is what makes it just scratch your head at it.
All right, on to a little bit of college football here. In the Iowa-Penn State game, Penn State players were getting injured in the game, and at some point Iowa fans were starting to boo, thinking they were faking it, whether it be to milk the clock. And it is weird because Iowa doesn't run a rushed offense, so it's not like you got to stop to get your substitutions in or anything like that.
Hurry up.
Hurry up offense. I think that was James Franklin's point. James was very hot under the collar about it, but here's Kirk Ferentz. He says, look, some of them were legit, like Sean Clifford. He never came back into the game, but other ones, he said, look, our fans smelled a rat, and I think they were right.
Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt, nobody. But I think probably it's a reaction to, you know, there a couple of guys that were down for the count, and then were back a player or two later. And, you know, I mean, our fans aren't stupid. I mean, they're watching. They know what's going on. And, you know, I've been here 23 years. I think that's only the second time we've seen that kind of stuff going on. I know it's a topic nationally right now. It's, you know, it was one of the discussions of the rules maker. They don't know quite know. Nobody knows the answer to it. But it's, and I also know for a fact that people, I'm not saying, I just, there are two people in our building that have been places where that was, you know, scuba or dive. No, scuba and turtle were the code words for. So, you know, it goes on. We don't coach it. Haven't really been exposed to it, and you know, but our fans thought they smelled a rat. I guess I don't know. So you know, they responded the way they responded.
Well, the big thing there in that game was, and I know that stuff happens all the time, but you credit the Iowa fans. They were a big part of that game. They forced three straight false start penalties, and I think there were seven or eight overall in that game.
Eight
overall in that game because of that crowd. That's phenomenal.
Yeah. All right. Another interesting piece of sound. This is from Brian Windhorst. Windhorst on KJ. I'm talking NBA, talking Kyrie. Just to keep you caught up, Kyrie is not going to be able to practice. The team says, well, you're not going to practice with us and be here part-time. It's all or nothing. Kyrie, many presumed, was anti-vax. He has said he's not anti-vax. He's anti-mandate. So here's Brian Windhorst. He says, keeping Kyrie away must have KD. He said the Nets wouldn't have made this bold statement yesterday unless they had KD's approval. Mm-hmm. Take a listen.
Exactly.
It's unlikely to me that this decision doesn't come with the support of Kevin Durant. Now, Sean Marks was obviously asked about that yesterday, and he made it clear that this was a decision that was a final choice by the owner, Joe Tsai, and himself, the general manager. But they had a path forward where they could have tried this with Kyrie, especially after the change to the law and that they would have allowed him to practice. That would have at least given them a chance to work together and not had him going through, you know, 10, 12 days at a time, depending on how the schedule went, where they couldn't put their hands on him. They couldn't see him together. I mean, it's not an ideal way to play, but, you know, if it was something that Durant and Harden said, we've got to do this, I think the Nets, based on the way they've made decisions in the past, would have. So to me, that's the big takeaway, because there's really been no bigger ally in the NBA over the last few years for Kyrie than Durant.
Okay. Here is, we'll comment on this, but here is how Windhorst says the Kyrie situation could possibly play out.
The risk for a player, of training a player like Kyrie, even in the best of times with 1 year on his contract, is very high. And then you have the reality that, let's say he gets traded somewhere where there's a city government or a county government that may enact its own vaccine mandate, where you might end up exactly in this situation that the Nets are in. So really, the Kyrie only really, in my view, has three ways forward, two of them likely. One, he gets vaccinated and rejoins his team, which seems unlikely at this point. Two, he waits for the conditions to change with COVID, the Delta variant to pass us and no other variant to come, and New York relaxes the mandate. Or three, he could retire. I think that's unlikely. But, you know, that's really the hand here. I don't think the trade, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah, because of exactly what he said. There could be other mandates put in place by some other cities. So who knows? But, you know, you're right. KD would have had to approve all of this. And, look, I'm so sick of Kyrie. I really so sick of it. Well, don't play. Don't play. Nobody cares. Nobody, the Nets fans care, but nobody else does. Don't play.
I think that's going to be his decision. I've given this some thought for a lot of days. And, boy, I have been critical on Kyrie, no doubt about it. He annoys me. I think the annoying contrarianism that he has done everywhere he's been on various things. But I've given this some thought, and here's my position on Kyrie. I actually, on this, I'm going to go a little easy on him. I'll tell you why. Because this ties into my personal view. This is not political. I'm not looking for an argument. This is just how I think. I'm pro-vaccine, but I'm uneasy about mandates. I don't think you should, this blanket statement, I don't think you should mandate them. That's my personal view. I'm not looking for an argument. And that's what Kyrie is apparently saying. He's an anti-mandate. Now, there are consequences to that. Like, you may not be able to work where you work, or he will not be able to work where he's going to work. And it looks like he's willing to do that. And by the way, on the flip side, I like how the Nets have handled this now. Because I thought it would be weird to have him there one day and not there the next. And what? So I'm not critical of the Nets. I'm not critical of Kyrie. And the consequences are playing out, unfortunately.
I'm critical of him because I'm just tired of him. And I agree with you, most of what you said, pro-vaccine, that kind of thing. But look, it's a mandate. Every company that I know of, you have to get vaccinated. This is a major in professional sports. Or something. You don't want to? Fine, then you're not going to play. We have to get vaccinated here. We have to get vaccinated in any building that has 100 employees in it.
Yeah.
Or you can't work. Or you can't play. I mean, that's just the way it is.
What you and I? Hold on. You and I have made our decisions.
Yes.
With our he's making his, and
that's fine. Don't play
if he wants. He's not.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He's walking away from $15 million to make a point.
Right now, there are four players, only four in the NHL that are not vaccinated. Four out of everybody. The NFL, what is it? 95. It's got to be close to 95%. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So look, if you work in any building or you work in any company, on the whole, you're not getting in unless you get vaccinated, and they have the right to do it. That's that simple. And you have the right to say no.
Yeah.
Then you don't work there.
And he's not.
Yeah.
He seems to be okay with it. Anyway,
this stuff about, you know, being employees having the right to do that, this is nothing new. And I don't blame him one bit. Then if you don't like it, don't work there. Plain and simple. Don't work there. Don't play basketball. Don't play football. Don't play radio. Don't do anything. Don't play chef.
Yeah.
The restaurant you work in says you're getting vaccinated, and you're getting vaccinated, you're not working there. It's the way it goes.
It is, and it's the way it's
going.
Life
is full of little disappointments sometimes.
But I'll be critical of Kyrie in the future. I've been critical of him in the past. I'm not going to pick on him for this anymore. I just give him some thought. Is what he's decided to do.
He's just being selfish for his teammates and for the fans there in the organization. That's what this is.
Could be.
Oh, I mean, this is about Kyrie. And he says it's not about vaccination, right? He has said that.
It's about the mandate.
The mandate, the principle. Well, Kyrie, why don't you go work anywhere else in the private sector and see what it's like? What does he think? You're going to walk into Wall Street someplace and say, yeah, I'd like a job. I'm really smart. Hire me as one of your top brokers. Okay, fine. We have over 100 employees in our building. You need to get vaccinated. I don't want to do that. Oh, well, then see you later.
He's not gonna work there.
We have 8,000 people that will take your spot.
There are ways around it for other professions, not for basketball.
There are. You're right. There
not
are.
For basketball.
And people you have know, the right if, to pursue if, those options.
If if one of you two were staunchly against it, I would fight to until the mandate is lifted from this company to say, hey, let's let whoever do the show from the house. Unfortunately, Kyrie does not have that option right
no,
now, you know?
239. Pete sounds like he's like ready to give his freedoms away. No backbone having, yeah, I don't know what that means. Yeah. Because my opinion differs from yours. So there you go. I'm saying 239, I don't know where you work or if you're an independent contractor or how old you are. But if you're working in a building or any office that has over 100 people, you have to get vaccinated. If you're working in many establishments, no matter what it is, most of them you have to get vaccinated if you're around people. But, that's not giving up freedom. That's not giving up my freedom.
But hold on. But the NBA thing is not an NBA thing. It's a New York City thing. So why is it that Kyrie has to get the vaccine, but the player on the Miami Heat that's unvaccinated can still play the games regularly in New York
totally
City?
Fair. It's totally fair.
It's totally hypocritical, and I don't think that I see Kyrie's side on this one.
Yeah.
I see Kyrie's
side
on
this.
Mm-hmm. I would probably make a different decision, and I think most of the NBA has not most of the NBA. That's phrasing it wrong. I know there are guys in the NBA that got the vaccine simply because they're not at a point financially in their life where they can skip a season.
Right.
You can't do that. Most guys can't do that in the NBA.
I would say people would be less critical of Kyrie if he wasn't like contrarian on everything. Like every week it's a new situation with Kyrie. He loses a little credibility there. You know, going back to the days of the world being flat or whatever. But, you know. He made his decision.
I'm with you guys on far as him saying, you know, it's the mandate. I will not be told what to do. Fine. There are consequences for those actions.
Correct.
That's fine. That's all I'm saying.
I tell you what.
And certainly you're letting your teammates down. I would be – and if he doesn't care about that, or he doesn't care about the fans who are paying your salary, going to see you play, okay.
Right.
Don't
now,
play.
Salary is going to be zero. Well, or half, whatever it is.
I love these people that take it to the tree. You're giving up your freedom. Shut the bleep up.
Well, no.
Giving up my freedom.
No, you can't say that.
No, saying it to me I'm not giving up my freedom. I have freedom. Freedom to do what I want to do.
Well, you freely chose to get the shot or didn't get the shot. You know,
I freely chose to get it back in February.
I think that's all that texture means.
Yeah, but.
A lot of people feel that way. They don't mind the vaccine, but they don't want to be told. What else in this country have you been told what to do? It kind of goes against how a lot of people, I'm not saying all or half, but a large percentage of people feel that way. And I sympathize with that argument. I do.
I'm with you, but most companies, most places of employment are saying you get it or you don't.
By the way, good news.
That's
not anywhere else. The last 2 weeks, new infection rates in Florida down 64%. That's pretty good. We'll take it. Coming up in a minute, John Meter Perrell will join us, and we will talk some ACC football with him. Of course, he's with Boston College. The ACC, that's an interesting race now. No Clemson just dominating, so we will talk to him. And right now, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Oktoberfest at the German-American Social Club in Cape Coral, featuring beer, food, dancing, shopping, and more. Caller number 9. Pick any day, October 23rd, 24th, 30th, or 31st, and these tickets are good for any one day. Caller number 9, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. If you want to go to Oktoberfest at the German-American Social Club in Cape Coral, call now. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepherd.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Scheman and Shepherd, Chris on the other side of the glass here at ESPN Southwest Florida. All right, it's going to be nice to take a break from all things John Gruden and emails and all this stuff. Let's talk some ACC football. Our weekly friend of the program chat with John Meter Perrell, the radio announcer for Boston College, also at ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at MeetsTweets. John Meter Perrell, what's up?
What's up, Meter?
What's up, boys? Watch out for those emails from your WEEI days. Look out.
I never sent them. I said what I had to say on the air and then quit. I know better.
Yeah, is there a dumber man alive than John Gruden?
I don't. Well, the 650,000 emails. It's quite possible that there are several that might be dumber if that ever gets leaked out, which I think some of them will. But what a crazy story that is.
Oh, it's just absolute insanity. But you're right, Craig. We have an amazing, amazing weekend last week. I'm sure you guys talked about it in college football. It was astounding how good those games were.
Well, hold on just a minute before we get there. I mean, there may be John Gruden emails and there may be ACC football to talk about, but our audience wants to know, how did your date go Saturday night at the Red Sox game?
Oh, that's right.
I actually went Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So I saw the Thriller at Fenway. Mm. And by the way, if you've never been to Fenway Park, or maybe some of your audience has not, especially for playoff baseball, put it on your bucket list. As Pete would attest,
it's insane.
You want to watch a game other than Fenway in October, place was absolutely bedlam, and I can't tell you how much I enjoyed watching it.
Hey, John,
brought back memories to 2004. It was that good.
All right.
Okay, now, how did the date go?
Yeah, no, that sounded like a no comment on the date part. That's what that sounded like.
Well, I buried the lead. I get it. It was okay. I didn't close the deal. I needed Lee Smith coming out of the bullpen to close the deal, but that's all right.
So you wanted it to be like 6'5"?
A 5 on a 10 scale. But that's okay. As I said to you guys, if the day ends in Y, the bumble feed is humming.
All right. All right. Sounds good. Now, let's go back to ACC football. Yeah. Okay. So let's eaty, meeny, miny, moe. Yeah, great weekend last weekend. Lots going on there.
This weekend, John, I agree. I think you guys have probably the biggest game up there, biggest night game up there in a long time, I think. BC hosting number 22 NC State. And the other games, Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, I guess, is a good one as well. Miami and North Carolina. I don't know what the hell is going to happen in that one.
Yeah, but wait a minute. We're in October, and NC State and Boston College are battling to keep pace with Wake Forest atop the division. I mean, that sounds weird to hear me say those words.
Love it.
Yeah, it does. It's bizarre. I mean, I think, we all should applaud each other because we said from the jump this is going to be a very strange year in college football because there's parity everywhere. And I think the ACC, no doubt number one in that category with Wake Forest at the top. They're a talented team. Are they a top 20 team? I have no idea. I can tell you, though, that they're very well coached. Quarterback's experience. They have good running backs. It's a really tough offense to play because it's so methodical. They do the two-step with a mesh handoff. You have to be so disciplined in your gaps on defense to defend it. So I think there's a couple losses in there for Wake Forest. Cheap plug to Saturday after Thanksgiving at Chestnut Hill against BC. But before you get to that point, I do agree with you, Pete. BC, NC State, an enormous matchup. A lot of magic too there for both sides. It's a pivot game. Both teams look at this game as one that they can win. It's a matchup game, and those are the ones you love.
No question. Another one I think is really interesting, and BC's also had their way with NC State as far as points go, right? It's like over 35 points a game. They score a lot against them. But I'm looking at Clemson at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And why do I get the feeling that this game is going to be a lot closer than the 13.5 that is there? I don't know. There's just something about Clemson that just doesn't feel right to me. But, this game's going on tomorrow night, or Friday night, I should say. So I'm sure you'll be watching Friday this night. One. Yeah.
Yeah, those of us watching the Red Sox will keep our clickers handy for that one. But it's one of those, I know what you mean, but I also think you can flip it on its head and say, wait a minute, Clemson's due. DJ's not this bad. Their offense isn't this bad. They're due to explode. Syracuse's defense is a strength, but Syracuse is not going to be able to score against Clemson. It could be a 20-10 type game. I see where you're going, Pete, and you probably have those after effects from 2017 when Syracuse shocked them and kind of ruined them for a little bit there. But I just don't see that happening necessarily. I think Syracuse has too many weaknesses. I think it will be a rare sellout in the Carrier Dome. That might help a little bit, but there'll probably be a lot of Clemson fans too. Mm-hmm. So I still feel like the Atlantic Division is totally up for grabs between Wake Forest, BC, NC State, and Clemson. Mm.
I'm calling the Miami-North Carolina game the Identity Bowl. I don't think either team knows what the heck they are. North Carolina coming off that loss to Florida State, and Miami obviously with quarterback injuries and whatnot. Any thoughts on that game? That's very unpredictable.
It is. You hit it, Craig. Two very disappointing teams, more so North Carolina. Guys, that's a joke. I mean, it tells you that the preseason rankings, and you said it, Craig, earlier, they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
North Carolina, they're a top 15 team. No, they're not. They lost two of the best running backs in the nation. You forget, remember last year, Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. In this same game, I know, Pete, you don't want to talk about it.
I know. 8,000 yards.
Over 500 yards on the ground. That's not going to happen this year. Now, Dobbs is a terrific receiver. Howell's, I still think, a really good quarterback. I think he's a great quarterback, but it's such a jump ball. Is it that questionable due factor? Miami's clearly due. They're not this bad. Maybe they are. But they both lost a lot on both sides of the ball, so maybe a last possession type game, Craig?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Van Dyke's going to start. You might see a little bit of Garcia as well. I was just stunned last week, Meter, that North Carolina jumps out to a 10-0 lead. It seemed like in 2 seconds, I'm like, oh, here we go. They're going to blow them out 40-10. But you got to give Norvell credit a little bit. I mean, you start to see some things there over the last several weeks. They seem like they're starting to turn it around for the Seminoles. But I'm stunned that North Carolina lost the way they did last week after jumping out to that lead.
Yeah, so was I. And I think that's a coaching loss. I think that's a situation. You got to bury him. And I know the coach is going to only do so much, but did they take their foot off the gas?
Yeah.
I think Mac Brown's doing a lot of self-examining, saying, wait a minute, is the game passing me by? It speeds up on guys as they get older, guys. We've seen that many, many times. There's so many examples. The late Bobby Bowden, we all loved him, but the game sped up on him at the end.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. And I was surprised, Pete, they blew it too. I was, situation there where it's like, wait a minute, did that just happen? But there's been so many of those games this year. I mean, how about the Virginia Tech loss? I mean, valiant effort by the Hokies.
Yep.
But you got to put Notre Dame away, man. You had them.
Yeah.
You got 66,000 on your back at Lane Stadium. Great night, great atmosphere, yada, yada, yada. Win the game. Give birth to the baby, Pete, as you used to say.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, too, just about speaking of that game, and that win by Notre Dame helps Cincinnati, as you know. I've been all about chaos theory. I want the playoff expansion. Can't get here fast enough. But just your thoughts. Right now, Georgia, Iowa, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma, Alabama lurking right there at number 5 after the upset loss to A&M. But if Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship, but Iowa wins the Big Ten, Cincinnati wins out, Oklahoma wins out. Now, I think Cincinnati and Oklahoma are shoo-ins just to win out. I don't think they're losing. Iowa, I don't know, but let's assume that they win the Big Ten. So we got Georgia with one loss, Iowa, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma as conference champions. What happens if you're on that committee and things stayed status quo, but Alabama beat Georgia? Does Alabama, in your opinion, leapfrog Oklahoma or Cincinnati and get in?
Yes, because I know what the committee. I know how they feel. I know how they think. I know how they. It's a big. It's a big name, big game mentality. Overcome with Sabanism. It's overcome with. Wait a minute. We can't leave Alabama out. There's going to be too much controversy. It's a terrible way to look at it, but it's. I mean, that's what we're dealing with when you have humans deciding this thing. We hated the computers. Now we hate the humans. And where's the in-between here? So, Pete, the word to describe it is mayhem. The word to describe it is chaos. You got a real good opportunity for that to happen. I still think Georgia is the best team in the country.
Agreed.
I still think they will win. They will beat Alabama again. Or not again, but they'll beat them. And you'll see Georgia, you'll see Iowa, you'll see Cincinnati. And then it's your jump ball. You like Oklahoma. I see that. Oklahoma's defense is terrible, but the quarterback, what a revelation he is, guys. Who's got Spencer Rattler in the transfer portal?
Miami Hurricanes.
The Miami Hurricanes will take
him. There you go. Yep. There you go, Pete. You're on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Meter. Have a good weekend. Good luck to you against NC State. We'll talk to you next week. Always good
go
to
get
have
him.
You on.
Looking forward to it, boys. Make sure you have some spies out on the dating scene. You never know what's
going to
happen.
Give me a heads up. You got
it. All right. When you get down here, we'll go bouncing. I'll take care of you.
All right.
I know you will. Probably 79 degrees in Boston. Yes, New England is the new Southwest Florida.
Oh, please.
There you go.
It'll be snowing tomorrow, Saturday night at Alumni.
Probably.
Thanks, boys.
All right, talk to you later. Bye. John Meter Perrell, everybody. Follow him on Twitter at Meets Tweets. Good follow there. All right, when we come back, we can digest some of that. Also, a college football quiz by Pete. And also, I forgot to mention that Margaritaville was our winner for Oktoberfest. I see he's texted twice, doesn't know where it's at. It's at the German-American Social Club in Cape Coral. It's not in Fort Myers. It's in Cape Coral. Meanwhile, we are slowly but surely winding down hurricane season, but that means, you know, you still have to be prepared, right? You still have to be prepared for possible flood. There's a lot of things that get defined as flooding, okay? It's not just rising water from the ground at all times. Get your flood insurance buttoned up. Don't delay. Call Damon Brist Farmers Insurance before it's too late. Bundle the flood insurance with your homeowners, your cars, your boats, everything you need, and save money and get great coverage. Damon Brist Farmers Insurance, one of the fastest growing agents in the country and a local agent. Any kind of storms we have in Southwest Florida that you have to deal with, he has to deal with it too. He can sympathize with you. So be ready for what's coming. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Here's his number. Tell him I said to call. 239-202-2933. 239-202-2933. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. Have you switched yet? I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass at Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. How are you today? It is a hump day Wednesday. So we've given away some Oktoberfest. Next hour, we have Wikipedia with Firehouse Subs. We've got Sheeman and Shepard cash grabs. In fact, the next one coming up at the top of the hour. We just keep on giving till it hurts. That's what we do. All right, Pete Shepard, coming off our conversation with John Meter Perel, talking college football. I believe you have a college football quiz.
I do.
Racked and ready to go?
I do.
This is a quiz.
All right, I think you will do not great on this one, but we'll see.
Awesome.
As things stand entering week seven, there are three quarterbacks in Division I with at least 20 touchdown passes. There are also three runners with at least 10 rushing touchdowns. For today's quiz, can you name the three quarterback and the three rushers? I'll even give you a hint. Two of the three players who have 10 or more rushing touchdowns, quarterbacks.
Okay. Matt Corral for passing?
No. Again, the players with at least 20 touchdown passes. There are three of them, and the players with at least 10 rushing touchdowns, three of them.
Can you go like Joe Milton here?
No.
Jake, what's his face at Fresno? I always throw in a Fresno guess.
That's a good guess, though. Yeah. That was a good guess.
Nope. You got to tell me what you're doing, passing 20 touchdown passes or 10 rushing touchdowns.
Bijan Robinson for rushing touchdowns?
No. One for 20 touchdown passes. I'm stunned that you haven't got it already.
How many is your boy at Alabama have?
Bryce Young?
Yes, he has 20. Two
barely,
others.
Barely made the cut.
It's amazing.
Two other, one has 26 and one has 21. I'll give you one of them. You're not going to get it. Bailey Zappe at Western Kentucky has 21. Then there's another one that you know. We've mentioned this guy before. He's not a Power 5 guy, but he's very good offensively. AAC guy. I think with a cool name.
Oh, Tanner Mordecai.
Yeah, Tanner Mordecai.
Tanner Mordecai.
Leads the country in
passing
with 26.
The Oklahoma quarterback room had Tanner Mordecai and Spencer Rattler in it at the same time.
Wow.
That's a name room right there.
That is name room. A little bit of attitude mixed in also.
So players with 10 rushing touchdowns, two power fives, one not.
All right, rushing touchdowns.
This is harder.
Yeah. And I'm horrible at names. How about the Mississippi State running back, what's his name? He's not on the list?
No.
Not Duvernay.
No,
from UCLA?
No.
Chardonnay, whatever his name was?
No, not Chardonnay. All right, one is from Marshall with 11, Rasheen Ali.
Okay, I'm glad.
Would have not gotten that.
One is from the Big Ten and one is from the ACC. The other two are one's from the Big Ten, one's from the ACC. The ACC guy, I think you can get. The Big Ten, you may not realize it. They both have 10.
10 rushing touchdowns.
Yes.
Now, did you give us a quarterback or a running back?
Rasheen Ali at Marshall?
Yes. I don't know what position he plays.
No, off the top of my head, I don't. I know there is another quarterback on here.
Okay. That helps.
From the ACC.
That helps. Well, I thought it helped.
All right, I'll give
what
it
about
a Big Ten.
Hold on.
The The Hold Virginia on. Kid. Bannon? No. Brennan? Brennan?
No.
Brennan?
No.
Bohannon?
No.
No, Tommy Bohannon.
Nope.
Oh, let's go the Michigan State running back. What's his name?
No.
Rats. How about the Kentucky running back?
No. That's SEC.
Yeah, he already told us.
ACC and a Big Ten.
ACC quarterback. I'll just throw out DJ Uiagalelei.
No.
It's worth a shot. Sam Howell.
Derek King.
No.
I think we're about out of guesses.
Yeah. So
you know this guy.
Well, that.
All right, I'll give you a hint. Craig will get this right away. Or maybe Chris might. What was Richie's last name in Happy Days?
Cunningham.
Yes. It's Malik Cunningham, Louisville.
Oh.
He's got 10. And the other one is from Nebraska, Adrian Martinez.
Okay. Wouldn't have got that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Richie Cunningham, I was reading an interesting piece last night.
Are we done?
Yeah.
So Ron Howard, mm-hmm. when he was on Happy Days.
Who's, Adrian Martinez, by the way, also a quarterback.
He was talking about how stressed out as a kid, how stressed out and uptight he was because he could see that Henry Winkler, the Fonz, was getting all the love and all the screen time.
Yeah.
And I guess Ron Howard thought it was about him. And he was stressed that the Fonz was going to, you know, overshadow him, which he did. But they remain great friends.
I've seen the a whole documentary, 2.5 hours on it, yeah. And it's pretty interesting. They go through all that, but yeah, Henry Winkler and him are and Ron Howard are very close.
Yep. All right, coming up next hour, Wikipedia, your chance going head to head to Pete Shepard. Today's speaking of Jerry Jones, I forgot to mention this. Today's Jerry Jones's birthday. It is also Jerry Rice's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Famous Jerry's?
We're doing Famous Jerry's today.
Yeah!
Ben and Jerry's?
Possibly. Very possibly.
Tom?
Tom and Jerry?
Ooh. You don't know who Tom and Jerry are.
Seinfeld?
Ooh.
Am I giving all the answers away?
Sure. It's coming up at 4:45.
Jerry and Lewis.
All right, would you just pipe
down? I don't even
there?
Have the paper in front of me. I'm just going off Famous Jerry.
Geriatric.
Sheeman and Shepard. I guess we'll play. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.